There has been a lot in the news recently about bullying, most notably in the National Football League, where the investigation continues into allegations by Miami Dolphins offensive lineman Jonathan Martin that he was repeatedly bullied by his fellow player. But there's also a story nearly every week about childhood bullying, in person and online. So why are there so many bullies? Elizabeth Englander is author of the new book, Bullying and Cyberbullying, What Every Educator Needs to Know. She's with us in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you call bullying a psychological power play. What is the purpose of it? Why do people do it? Or is there one reason?
I don't think there is any one reason. And it's really important to distinguish between just being mean and actually bullying somebody. Hmm. I think that people are mean for lots of reasons. Sometimes they're just cranky or thoughtless or they don't realize how they're coming across. Bullying is different, though. Bullying is a really protracted assault against somebody. It's a campaign. Hmm. And that really has to do a lot with it being a power play. Although bullies themselves actually often report that they feel angry, and that's why they begin these. So it has something to do with anger.
But what purpose does it serve, the person who's bullying?
Well, bullying among children today is about social status, and it is about feeling psychologically on top. So it's a really strong motivator in a lot of ways. If you can swallow being mean to somebody, you can up your social status and become more popular, seem more confident or funny. So I think the incentive to do it is really powerful among kids.
But you can also up your social status by being really nice to people.
You can, but it can be a lot harder and a lot slower. Hmm. If you seem fearless, if you seem tough, you can up your social status pretty quickly. So I think it's very tempting for many kids to try it out.
When you look at adults, politicians, leaders in business and other places, is there a difference between the bullying that happens in childhood that we hear about all the time, whether it be old-fashioned bullying or cyberbullying, and the bullying that happens in adulthood, like what's being alleged in the NFL?
I think there are important differences. One of the biggest ones is that when you're an adult, if you're targeted in this way, usually you have some resources and some power in the situation. You might be able to quit a job. You might be able to call the press and start a national story about your situation. Whereas children really don't have those resources. So they are really unable to defend themselves. And that's really the biggest difference, I think.
So it's the ability to fight back.
Absolutely. And to defend yourself.
You make a distinction between bullies who are victims and bullies who are not victims themselves.
That's right. That's a really important difference. What I found in my research is that there are really two kinds of kids who engage in this. One are kids who have problems, struggle a little bit with social skills. They may have fewer friends. They have a harder time understanding the social network and how to navigate it. And they struggle, and they can be both victims and bullies. But other bullies are kids who are really more successful socially, and they tend to be leaders. They tend to have much better grades. They tend to be more popular, and it can be harder for adults to believe that these kids are involved in bullying.
What stops people from bullying? Or is it once a bully, always a bully?
I don't think it's once a bully, always a bully. I do think kids can grow up and grow out of these behaviors, although they don't all. But I think what stops people is an appreciation of the impact that they're having on other people. Maybe they have a relationship with a sibling or a new romantic relationship that makes them feel more sensitive. Their maturity helps them see the other person's point of view. Or they're just really good at being empathic.
Well, yeah. And in your book, you make this connection between people who become bullies and the amount of texting and emailing and communication that we do where we don't see the other person's reaction.
Absolutely. And when you're online, it's not emailing, by the way. They don't email for the most part now today.
It's just Snapchatting.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's mostly images. But the difference is when the person's not in front of you, you become much more self-focused. So you're not thinking, how will this impact this person? Instead, you're thinking, how do I look when I post this? Do I look clever? Do I look funny? Do I look popular? They're going after their own self-image. And because the other person's not in front of them, it's really easy to forget the impact.
Is it hard to figure out what causes somebody to be a bully in the first place? Because you might have, you can't really blame the parents if one kid turns out to be a bully and the sibling doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think that the blame game works. I don't think fingering any one element like parents or schools or any of that works because it's too complicated. And you can definitely see siblings from the same family who turn out really differently. Yeah. But it is true that there are some kids who may be more temperamentally inclined towards this and need to have more training out of it. So really, the bottom line is we have to be sensitive enough to respond to different kids and what they need. If we really want to protect kids, then we have to be able to pick up these problems before they become really serious problems and teach kids how to use technology in a way that's not going to feed this monster, but is going to dissuade it.
Like what? What would you have them do?
For example, I think it's really important for kids to understand that when you're in a technological environment, how you perceive things changes. So you may be a lot more self-focused. They need to understand that. They need to understand that emotions can escalate in a technological environment and be aware of that, be conscious of it. So once kids become aware of all of these elements, then hopefully at least a lot of them are going to practice technological use in a way that's a lot safer.
Are we bullying more now, or have we just become more sensitive to it?
I think we've definitely become more sensitive to it. I mean, the term is incredibly overused. People call everything bullying. So, you know, I've had people who told me they were beeped at on the highway and that they were victims of bullying. So
I think that's called road rage.
Right, right. So I think we are definitely oversensitive. But at the same time, I think that there has been some increase in the sort of sneaky psychological type. And that's partly because we don't really tolerate physical altercations in kids anymore, and also because of the influence of technology.
Do you think that we can ever evolve out of the need to bully?
Well, that's a hard question. We haven't evolved yet out of the need to be violent or abusive, and this really falls into that category. It's hard to say whether, but I do think we can reduce it. I think the better we understand it, the more effective we can be. So it's really a problem that you can't sort of wash your hands of and walk away from. The more we work on it, the better it's going to get. You know, I always say that violence prevention is a little bit like exercise. Every little bit you do counts. So if you do a little, it makes it better. If you do a lot, it makes it a lot better.
Elizabeth Englander is the author of the book Bullying and Cyberbullying, What Every Educator Needs to Know. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So do you have any insight into this? Were you bullied? Were you a bully? Let us know at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.